Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Let Her Go. why men kill their partners. It seems some men find it difficult to separate from their spouse. To some, breaking up is so egregious, so painful, so mind-twisting and unforgivable, it leads to violence and death. Excuse me. A rational person would think better to lose love and live to love again. Who knew? Sometimes if you let someone go, they return. You never know. Sometimes you let, you know, I heard that saying, you let them go and they may come back to you. Right? Can't come back if they're dead or if they're afraid. But if you killed them, there was no chance that you or anyone else will share anything with them, right? There's no chance of anything if you kill them. Not even their family and friends. You kill everything that they were, that they are, and that they're going to be. I think when the smoke clears, some men who kill their spouse can think of a thousand ways they could have dealt with that same situation. The task is to bring this train of thought to the forefront of a situation before it manifests into a crime scene. From LinkedIn, I thought this was interesting when I first saw it. Four reasons for a man to hit a woman. Nobody ever thought there was such a thing. Well, here's what this guy says from LinkedIn. Fire. If you look over at a woman you love and discover flames have taken over your girl, you should absolutely knock her to the ground and start rolling her around. A spider. If your princess discovers a spider wandering across her shoulder and with sheer terror in her eyes and her voice says, "Get it! Get it all!" you should smack that eight-legged sucker right off of her. Choking. If over dinner she begins to laugh at another one of your amazingly funny stories and in the process lodges a bit of her steak in her throat, you have my full support to yank her out of chair, spin her around, and start squeezing her breath beneath her ribcage until she spits out that piece of, you know, meat, right? Like they said, the Heimlich maneuver. Train. If, while enjoying a peaceful after-dinner walk with your lover, you notice she has wandered into the path of a quickly approaching oncoming train, by all means, grab her by the arm and, like the strong man you are, yank her backwards aggressively. I thought that was nice. Now back to the topic at hand. National statistics. On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States during 1 year. This equates to more than 10 million women and men. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence. Intimate partner contact, sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking with impacts such as injury, fearfulness, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, use of victim services, contraction of sexual transmitted diseases, etc., right? 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner. That includes a range of behaviors, slapping, shoving, pushing, and in some cases might not be considered a domestic violence, right? 1 in 7 women and 1 in 25 men have been injured by an intimate partner. 1 in 10 women have been raped by an intimate partner. Data is unavailable on male victims. I guess that would be, because that's a female rapes you and you're going to report it. That's like double hit. Anyway. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men have been victims of severe physical violence, beating, burning, strangling by an intimate partner in their lifetime. 1 in 7 women and 1 in 8 women have been stalked by an intimate partner during their lifetime to the point at which they felt very fearful or believed that they or someone close to them would be harmed or killed. On a typical day, there are more than 20,000 phone calls placed to domestic violence hotlines nationwide. The presence of a gun in a domestic violence situation increases the risk of homicide by 500%. I think the presence of a gun probably increases the risk of homicide wherever. Intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crime. Women between the ages of 18 and 24 are the most commonly abused by an intimate partner. That's a very interesting number right there, 18 to 24. That's the coming of age of ages right there. 19% of domestic violence involves a weapon. Domestic victimization is correlated with a higher rate of depression and suicidal behavior, right? Only 34% of people who are injured by intimate partners receive medical care for their injuries. So, why do men kill their romantic partners, right? The people that they're intimate with. They say that they have these intimate feelings, love, like you a lot, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? So this is from UniEd, right? AU, right? So they talked about this guy. Well, what they said, this guy in Australia. And what's his name? Oscar Pistorius, right? I might have heard of him. Guy that had, I think he was some kind of athlete, had no legs. So they said he used the hollow point bullets that create big holes, right? I don't know if y'all know about hollow points. That's like shrapnel metal going into you. To shoot his girlfriend to death. His defense is that he thought he was shooting an intruder, not her, through the bathroom door. Also, he claims he did not intend to fire his gun. It went off accidentally 4 times. Well, y'all probably know that's impossible to do, right? In the trial, he gives hints about why he shot her to death. 4 reasons simply apply, they say. He is impulsive and immature. He had been charged with 2 other cases, firing a gun out of the roof of a car while it was moving, and 2 other individuals were in the car. He allegedly fired in response to his unhappiness with events in a police stop a short time before. All right, so this guy's impulsive, right? Immature. That's immature right there. He was charged with firing a handgun in an outdoor cafe as he took it from a friend. He was not angry at the time. He is aggressive. He criticized his girlfriend. He enjoyed firing hollow point bullets into watermelons to see them explode. And he carried a loaded gun everywhere. So he's basically a loaded, you know, weapon itself. Because he's impulsive, immature, and he acts out with his gun. So he uses his gun to express his emotions. So that makes him a very dangerous person. He is insecure and afraid. During the trial, he often wept and vomited. He often speaks in a weak tone of voice. He acted jealous with the woman he killed. He carried a loaded gun. This insecurity would be the result to use an idea of Alfred Adler of having an inferiority complex relating to his lacking of lower part of his legs. As I said, this guy had, I don't know if people know, that he had no legs. He was running with the guys, against guys with legs. He had those like metal things for legs. He lived in a violent patriarchy in South Africa. This country has one of the highest murder rates in the world. As in most, almost all current societies, men there tend to hold power and to perceive women as less than equal. Hence, there are very high rates of rape, which estimates that half of the women in South Africa have been raped. That is a lot of rape right there. Social environments tend to shape the behavior of individuals in society. There's another individual they speak about that whose behavior is shaped by social environments. And I'm not saying that everybody's behavior is not shaped by social environments. We're talking about this particular type of behavior and attitude. So we'll get to that person later on. These same four factors, being impulsive, immature, being aggressive, feeling insecure, afraid, and living in a violent patriarchy, right, may explain many cases of men killing their romantic partner in a fit of passion. That sounds like that would explain a lot of homicides, period. The factors combine personality characteristics and social influences, they say, right? So the question is, what can we do to reduce this men killing their romantic partners? Whew. I don't know. I go to the scriptures on that, and they talk about raising a child in the right way so that he won't, you know, stray from it. It's because you got to start from birth, and it's harder as you trying to change an adult. But if it's easier, I can't even say it's easy. I don't know. Because some people are receive that information, and, you know, still the environment has an influence on them, as they said. Anyway, but that is the question, though. How do we stop this? What can we do to try to stop it, reduce it, you know, help people stop themselves, right? Truth is, we live in a violent world. Hurt people sometimes hurt people. Controlling people, use violence to control people. Read your history book. There's corporal punishment in and out of the home, right? We got violence everywhere, all form of violence. And when you think about it, men are not the only perpetrators of violence. Women attack too. Yet men appear to get the short end of the perp stick when it comes to being violent toward their intimate partner. Say a slap in the face. Some argue a man should not hit a woman. To the tune of he's not being a man if he does. But a woman gets a pass for slapping a man. For the most part, our biological differences, the male is usually bigger than the female, stronger than the female, right? Make the male appear to be more of a threat, right? And I'm not saying a woman can't hurt a man, not by any chance, but I'm just saying there's certain advantages to being a male biologically. That's what I'm saying, right? And so what is aggressiveness, right? Well, it's a behavior characterized by impoliteness, inconsiderateness, intolerance, rudeness, and often by speaking in a loud voice. This behavior lacks tact and finesse and usually provokes anger and hostility and creates stress and fear in other people. Okay, aggressiveness alienates people, creates anger, and leads to broken relations, loss and unhappiness. It might also create animosity and estrangement. Aggressiveness often manifests verbally, and sometimes it might turn into physical aggression. which could be dangerous and harm both parties, right? A person displaying this behavior insists on his or her opinion and does not listen to others. He or she are often self-centered and do not care about the rights of others, right? The person that has that characteristic also, certain type of person, right? So they said, don't get aggression or confused with assertiveness. Assertiveness considers the rights of others and is a sign of inner strength, self-esteem, and confidence. 10 reasons why people display aggressiveness. Sometimes people become carried away during a discussion, a debate, or argument. They raise their voice, try to force their opinions on others, and do not allow anyone to talk or reply. Okay. A person who feels insecure and lacks self-esteem might instinctively behave in an aggressive manner to cover his or her insecurity, lack of inner strength, and absence of self-esteem. Often, criticism awakens aggressive behavior. This could account for the anger caused by the criticism. Feeling of inferiority, right, might also be the reason for this behavior. Anger, resentment, and dissatisfaction can trigger this behavior. People become aggressive when they feel threatened by other people. It is an instinctive behavior aimed to protect oneself from threat. And I'm thinking of perceived threat also, because some people become that way due to perception. If you have been living in an aggressive environment, or if you encountered this behavior from an earlier age, it is possible you will instinctively behave this way. That's raising a child, right? If you're raised in an aggressive environment, you learn to react aggressively to certain things. You know what I mean? To anything you don't like, you might just act aggressively to it if you've been around that type of environment or a particular thing. Particular situations, right? Sometimes people who are easygoing and tactful might exhibit aggressiveness in certain situations, right? Certain people become aggressive when encountering weak or helpless people. We call those bullies, right? For some reason, weakness and helplessness in others trigger in them a rude and bullying behavior. Stress, nervousness, or a weak health can sometimes trigger an aggressive behavior. See, that guy had his legs were, I don't know why, he didn't have the bottom part of his legs. And you can see how some of this stuff's related to this guy's behavior. Being angry, overcompensating with the weapon, not really dealing with his inner self. Whenever you can, you should avoid this behavior. It might seem strange to you, but the opposite behavior of being considerate, tactful, and calm is more helpful. From Psychology Today, why do some men murder the wives they love? And I guess there are a lot of reasons, but these guys have come up with something that relates to, I guess, that they see present. Anyway, globally, about 40% of all female murder victims and just 6% of male murder victims die at the hands of a former or present spouse or lover, right? A home becomes a dangerous place for women as well as the children, whereas almost all cases of homicide committed by males against their female partners occurred after the female ended the relationship or announced her intention to do so. Most of the homicides committed by females against their male partners were reactions to severe male domestic violence. We call that a form of self-defense, right? Still a homicide. So, nearly all male murders claim that they committed the murder out of love, and it was a result of loving too much. We accept A and reject B. They committed the murder out of love. Wife murder does not express profound love. Rather, it is an abusive type of a problematic fusion model of love. So we get to the fusion model. I said prevailing explanations, right? The various explanations offered for the murder of wives share two common assumptions, they say. The murder stems from masculine positiveness. It is the embodiment of the murderer's personality, and sexual jealousy and anger are two emotions that trigger it. The murder is the climax of the history of violence that preceded it. They said our knowledge on wife killing rejects the above two assumptions. We believe that whereas wife murder is undoubtedly the most extreme manifestation of male violence, it is not due to a single male quality, such as masculine possessiveness, and it is not a natural or inevitable continuation of domestic violence. Now, that's interesting. They say it is a phenomenon that we separate from other forms of male violence. We believe that in an important sense, these murders are committed out of love, so that an understanding of which components of love play a role in these murders would increase our understanding of this phenomenon. Now, I know people would say, hey, you don't kill the people you love. You love somebody, why are you killing them? Well, as the people say, hey, this is their take on these homicides. And in order to understand them, you have to understand how these people feel. Is love, does love have something to do with it? Apparently so. The simplicity of prevailing views evades the question of why certain men murder their wives. Instead, they lead one to ask, how is it that so few men kill their wives? In 2007, in the U.S., the rate of male partner violence toward their intimate female partners age 18 or older was 4.5 per 1,000. The rate of intimate partner homicide for females at that year was 1.07 per 100,000 female residents, right? That is 420 times smaller. The murder is not an unintended result of violence that went too far, as most of the murders are well planned. Furthermore, wife murder cannot be understood in terms of loss of control or local insanity. It is rather a deliberate act, which is the result of an emotional ripeness that created the mental readiness for committing the murder as an act of profound despair that is ready to destroy the other, even if this means destroying oneself. Right, because if you kill somebody, you whether you live or die, you are destroying a part of yourself. You are hurting yourself because you have to live with that. You have to, and you kill somebody you love, you have to live with that also. Anyway, they're going to talk about the conditions of risk. There was the writing on the wall, right? That means there's signs, and like there was some telltale signs, right? But I think that even if the writing on the wall wasn't so prominent for the people around, for the family, for friends, The one for whom it was definitely prominent was the victim. This is the victim ignored and believed that maybe it wasn't what she thought. That was written by a person who murdered their spouse. That's a quote. It said, outside people might have known it, but the victim knew it. But she ignored it. I don't know, you know, that's his interpretation of what happened. Maybe she hoped that he wouldn't do that. Maybe he hoped that he loved her enough not to kill her. And she gambled on it and lost. Explaining the murder by referring to a single central variable such as male possessiveness or jealousy is simplistic and partial. The murder should be understood as a phenomenon anchored in a certain constellation of factors that combine and create the conditions for murder. So it's like a soup. This thing is just got all these ingredients, all these things that's happening, and ignoring it. If you ignore it, it just builds. No intervention. Although masculine possessiveness as well as jealousy and anger play a role in the full range of factors that produce the readiness to take a life, it is more accurate to consider the motive for murder in terms of conditions that are favorable for the development of murderous violence rather than in terms of a central personality variable. That's interesting because that says that almost anybody who is experiencing these variables could kill their spouse. You don't have to necessarily be a person that we might think that would kill somebody. It could be anybody that that fits. I guess if the shoe fits, then you are in the situation at risk of murdering your spouse. Whether you are a guy that totes a gun or a guy that prays. So, they said there are complex conditions of risk, many of which are parts of romantic ideology, right? So, you guys know what romantic ideology is, the idea you have about romance, how it's supposed to look. I'm in love, we in love, this is us. What's that supposed to look like? Now, you know, some people might have different interpretations of what love looks like, you know, but I don't think anybody gets thinks that it looks like somebody murdering you, right? Here we go. The man perceives the woman to be his whole world. You hear that a lot in the songs, right? She almost said, you're my everything, you're my everything. So the Temptations sing that, right? I don't know what they got now. They be singing some non-disrespectful in relationships now. A lot of, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't listen to the radio too much. But the old songs had these stories about love, about romantic ideology. That's what they were expressing back in the day. So, and not too long ago. But now I don't even know if I hear stuff like that. But anyway, that things like that. I love you more than life itself. You know, stuff like that. You know, right? So, So he feels that any separation from her entails a loss of his own identity. That's some heavy stuff. Like, that's a lot to put on a person, too. The man's life lacks other sources of meaning and reasons for living. So the man's traditional perception of masculinity, which dictates that the male has full power, honor, and control, runs counter to his dependency upon his wife, making that reliance appear evidence of his weakness and humiliation and an affront to his masculine honor. So he's powerless over his woman, and that woman is doing things that are perceived to be harmful emotionally, socially, psychologically, and maybe physically harmful to him. You about to have a problem, right? Because now his honor is, you know. And I'm not saying it's might not be women that might feel some of these ways, but we're talking about men right here, right? I did mention that women, you know, do attack and murder their spouses, and they say most of them are doing it in what they call self, you know, fighting back. So, and I don't know how much of hitting and slapping in the face, because I know a guy take a lot of that, you know, before he even think about leaving a relationship, because it's some slapping in the face, you know, hitting, punching the chest, stuff like that. Guys are not going to complain too much. Anyway, the man prevailing, the man's personal behavior is rigid and uncompromising. The man's prevailing belief about love appeared to justify the sacrifice of his wife on the one hand and the persistence on the other. In this case, the ideology behind love provides legitimacy for terrible crimes. That's a lot put on a woman's shoulders. That's like you putting up on this perfect pedestal. And then the perfection is based on your ideology, not hers. So she is the recipe for failure. When all the above conditions pertain, the risk of wife murder significantly increases. See, that's why they're saying it doesn't matter who you are. They're saying these are some of the things that they think that, you know, increase the risk of murdering your spouse. The specific event that ignites the explosive barrel often revolves around the woman threatening to or actually separating from the partner. Knowing these conditions of risk will enable us to read the writing on the wall, thereby preventing many wife murders. So this prevention of, they say, identifying the conditions, right, that put the lives of these partners, these wives, significant others, intimate partners at risk. I say you need to do something before that, but like you said, you got to deal with people where they are. And that's where a lot of people are right there. Right? Romantic ideology and the murderers. Some of the things they quote, here's a quote. I couldn't live. I couldn't function without it. I believe that I couldn't function if I wasn't with her. That's the quote from a murderer, a guy that murdered his wife or spouse, his girlfriend, whatever, somebody he cared about. In the light of the centrality of love in our lives, it is no wonder that cultures all over the world have depicted an ideal form of romantic love towards which all of us are supposedly striving for the ideal. All right, y'all? That's almost like saying the perfect form of romantic love, the ideal form of romantic love, which many people are striving. You know, that thing where they, you know, I think these, I don't even hear this anymore. You live happily. They say it in the marriage. You live happy ever after. So I think, no, I don't know if they say it's wet or not. But, you know, it used to be a saying, you know, and they live at the movie, and they live happily ever after, right? So you're expecting that and all those things that come with you being happy, that romantic, oh, she loves me. Everything is so nice. Right? So, I mean, ideal form of she's doing this, she's doing that, she's doing this, she's doing that, you're doing this, you're doing that. Everything is just working out, right? Everything. But, I mean, real life is not even like that. How about an ideal form of just living, everyday living? We just don't have that. But we can do better, right? So, anyway, many cultures have considered romantic love to be crucial for personal fulfillment and a happy life. See, so romantic love. I mean, okay. So I hear some people don't even marry for love; they marry for function. But I guess that's another show. However, romantic love is also a major factor in people's misery, as it involves many disappointments and unfulfilled hopes. Is it because maybe it's unrealistic for the individual, however you're perceiving it? I don't know. You know, I don't know about romantic love. So It has been claimed that Western culture has no history of happy romantic love within marriage. That's us, Western culture. Love may be many splendid things, but love also hurts a lot, can be dangerous, and may lead to foolish deeds, right? And that's funny because we got Western culture. That's why I hear the songs, because I don't know what the other songs in other countries are saying, because I'm not that well-versed, well-read with the world. But I know here, I grew up with hearing this thing about, like they saying, like the Temptations, you're my everything, you know what I mean? Can't live without you. Can't breathe if breathing is, if living is without you. There's a song like that, you know, so, wow. So that's a fantasy that people trying to live up to. You know, it doesn't, I guess it's not preparing you for reality, the bumps and the roads that come with relationships. And I'm not even talking about infidelity or anything. They're just the bumps, the things that y'all bump heads on and things like that. So anyway, committing suicide because of unrequited love is not an unusual story, they say, right? Some even regard it as a perfect manifestation of true love. That's a stretch for me. As a result of unrequited love, right? Men commit suicide 3 to 4 times more often than women. Men kill themselves 3 to 4 times more often than women, right? Man. And it is virtually only men who kill their partners when their partner leave or tend to leave them. In a sense, women are the more realistic. They tend to be more accepting of the fact that love might not endure forever. So why is that? That's very interesting. So they go on to talk about the basic characteristics and romantic ideology concern its profound significance, its ability to prevail, and its long duration. And the two lovers are fused into a unique entity, one, right? The beloved is irreplaceable and exclusive, and love and the beloved are morally pure. Woo, man. That's like a loaded gun right there nowadays. Woo! Fused. I think Beyonce had a song, something, don't ever think that you're irreplaceable. So that's, there's some hope there. I guess the women do have that going on because the guys are singing about, I don't know what they're singing about now, but they sing some trash. Don't even seem like they even care about women. Well, there are. This was a guy was thinking about somebody. But you're the best part of the of something of his life. It was. I heard something. But I don't even listen to the radio that much, so can't use me as a barometer of what's happening in the music world. But what I do here doesn't sound good in terms of relationships. So anyway, various related aspects of ideal love is being total, uncompromising, and unconditional. Okay? As performed by romantic ideology indicate the extreme nature of that ideology. So like I said, that's a hell of a burden to place on any human being's soul's shoulders. Like, you got to be perfect, you know. When ideal total love is total, then it suffuses all aspects of the beloved life. Love pervades all of life, components in an uncompromised man. That's love is every. I'm not against love or anything like that, but this was this guy's thing. I'm not even saying this. Love pervades all the life components in a compromised manner, right? In this sense, the beloved is all the lover needs. True love lasts forever and can conquer all. The two lovers are totally united. Love is totally irreplaceable, exclusive, and is totally benign. As it can do no evil. Woo! That's a lot to put on some individuals. Some people probably can do that. I'm not saying that don't even happen for some people. Some people probably do have, you know, they get together And but they probably don't have a perfect life, but they're not knocking each other in the head and all that stuff, running, you know, coming home 6 a.m, saying he's out with the homies, and they're not going through all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I guess some people have an uninterrupted love life, romantic love. Why does it got to be romantic love? Romantic love is a fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think me and Paris had a conversation about romantic love being a fantasy. I think because you love your family, so you care about them, you know. You love people, your friends, and things like that. So romantic love is dealing with this specifically of how you love, how you behave in love, right? So and then I agree there are rules and boundaries involved in that, this love thing, you know. So you got this thing called the fusing model of love, right? They said they quote another quote: "I've got you so deep in my heart that you're really a part of me." That's Frank Sinatra. That was my Frank Sinatra imitation. Anyway, then there's another saying, another quote: "I felt as if she was my air, as if she was the only thing that sustained me." Another murderous quote. And that's a hell of a burden to place on somebody else that you can't live without them. When you actually can't, you know, it's not even real, because you can live without that person. A central model in romantic ideology is the fusing model, in which the two lovers, right, I guess you probably got it by now, form a profound union, a fusion, to become one, right? You see that in the Bible. Didn't tell a man leave his mother and father and, you know, become one with his wife, right? Join with his, and cleave to his woman, right? So they call that becoming one. I think they talk about that also when you get in the wedding thing, something like that, to become one. So then I guess people interpret that to mean, what does that mean? Purpose, one sexually, is that a physical sexual union? What is it, you know? So anyway, they become fused together as if they were a unique single attitude, two faces of the same coin. The notion of fusion may be associated with the fact that in sexual intercourse, corporal penetration literally fuses the two bodies. See, that's what they're talking about, right? That we call it the consummation of the marriage. But they say that some people might look at sexual intercourse being the fusing of two bodies. So he's like, in a way, that's a union. I get that. All right, y'all fused together for however long time y'all could do that. All right, that's a physical fusion and probably an emotional, psychological, social fusion. I get that. All right, so then moving on. One, I guess this, God says, wherever I go, you go. Wherever I do, you do. That's too much for me in a relationship. You can't just be on my shadow. Who wants them? Anyway, if you are not and cannot be my Siamese twin, by my clone, Dr. Snart in 1997, also argues that we have embraced a Siamese twin model of intimacy, where every single moment of one of them will require consensus. We going? Hey, we going? That's crazy. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Salam alaikum, Carlton.
Well, think of my salon.
It's funny. I caught you just as you mentioned my name. I got a little different take on how I view this love thing and what you just said. This idea that we have now feels more like worship, whereas they're taking religion and a human being and fusing them together, where you're worshiping another person. You're losing yourself in another person. And I don't think that was the idea of it, you know, to be worshiping one another. The other thing is defining the word love. And I've come to my conclusion that people are only in love as long as they're getting what they want. Not all people, but a lot of people. It's a very selfish, selfish emotion.
What?
You know,
what does that mean?
As far as marriage, well, that means
what's that mean, getting what they want? What do you mean by that?
Getting exact, you know, they're in love as long as what they love is being given to them, you know, whether it be finance, whether it be a beautiful woman, you know, sexy body, you know, possession of things. I'm equating that to those who say that, you know, people have a godly kind of love, agape kind of love. And I don't see that, because a godly love would mean that even if someone else is doing something that you find unfavorable, you still love them enough to allow them to go their way. You love them enough to take the pain, you know, and not hurt them and see them through. And I haven't experienced that, even with people who have children. You know, they say they love their children, but there's many parents that have killed their kids, mistreat their kids. You know, there's lots of people who say, I love you, and they turn around and they do things that's not in any form of love that the other person wants to accept. But, you know, as long as they're getting what they want, is my experience, then they're in love. They're in love. And, you know, it's always a form of selfishness to me. It seems like some form of selfishness. And it doesn't mean that people can't have what they want, shouldn't have what they want. But if their whole motive is, I'm getting what I want, yeah, it's a form of, like, worship. You know, a long time ago, the idea of love, especially in Islam, the idea of love was non-existent. In Islam, if two people feel for each other, they rush those two people to get married so that they don't commit haram, which is having sex without marriage. Their bonding comes from them being together. All right, you two want to be together, you know you're going to sit down, you're going to have chaperones, you're going to talk with a sheikh, you're going to talk with some other people, you're going to talk with the family, there's going to be a dowry. The love part may not even be there. That comes after you bonded with someone, bonding with them. But here we're bonding with people based off of what we think we're going to get from that person without even having any contract or knowledge of the person or a culture to back it, meaning you don't have the backing of both sides of the family. A lot of people get married without their mother and father. They don't go with the blessing, you know. So for me, I don't understand it. It just seems like it's, for now, it's like some type of celebration and a party and a religious, what's the word? I guess some type of religious thing that they do, which they don't really honor. You know what I mean? They don't really honor it, because if you honored it, no one would have a divorce. God never sanctioned divorce. So, but that's my take on it. Sorry to take up the time.
I'm sorry. Your take is important. Everybody's take. Anybody calls in, their take is important. And I'm expressing takes from many people I don't even know tonight. You know what I'm saying? So it's all right.
Right.
But this guy's talking about how people are basically, their identity is infused in the person that they are in love with, and their ideology is infused. But I'm saying, if y'all don't share the same ideology, how can that, you know, how does that work?
It does. It goes right back. I'm sorry, I'm actually driving. But it doesn't. It just goes back to what each other is getting. You know, a man would think that, you know, his woman has been with another one, another person, and he's so destroyed that, you know, he want to go kill her and kill himself. There's no love there. That's not love. That's not even a form of love.
But
that's not even a form of love.
This guy's saying that comes from love. That can only happen if he is in love with her. For instance, say like if say you just met a girl, right? And you see her with somebody else, you're not having any, you ain't having any feeling bad feelings about her with somebody else. You just see how she with somebody else. You can sleep, right? You ain't having no problem with that. That same guy wouldn't have no problem with that. You know, unless he was psychotic and thought that woman loved him when she did. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm just saying under normal circumstances, you don't have any connection in this term we calling it love, right? For that person.
Right.
You're not feeling like doing nothing. You're not hurt or anything. You might be disappointed. You might not like it. You might catch her another time and talk to her and still end up with that person because you don't know her. You just want to be with her. You have feelings for her. So the love comes is a part of what happens. They're not saying that that's an expression of love, killing somebody. They're saying that that's love is a part of the motivation, the soup that's in the what makes this thing happen. And you can see it, you know, okay, this guy, this person, a person who loves you, you're going to have a different impact on their emotional and their psychological state. That's what I'm getting from these cats right here. They're saying that it's different when you hurt someone you love than it is somebody you just know. You know what I'm saying? Or two people that don't love each other, interacting with each other, that's going to have a different impact on their emotional state. You understand what I'm saying? It's less at stake. It's not as intense as this thing about, especially this whole thing about I can't live without you. You know, because if I can't live without you and I need you to be, what's that lady, the Mother Teresa, then it's you, right? I need you to be that girl, right? That's gonna be something else. That's gonna be an explosion. We keep having this thing building up, right? We arguing, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. You know, y'all arguing, y'all fighting over this. I can see where the guy is looking at her like, I can't do this without you, babe. That's what they're saying. Hey, I can't breathe without you, right? He needs to take deep breath.
Don't that sound like some form of worship? People say the same thing. They say the same thing about Jesus, peace be upon him. They say the same thing about Michael Jackson and musicians.
What they say?
People are taking their lives over there. You know, like, I can't go on. This is not in my life. This is not in my life anymore. I want to kill myself. I want to take my own life because I can't exist without that.
They said the same thing about Jesus?
Yes, there has been people who died.
I guess so. You know what? It could be. That's right. I can't say. I don't know. Somebody might feel that way. Like you're saying, I don't know. But that's a hell of a thing to say about Jesus. They say it's wrong to take your own life.
Absolutely. But the idea that someone, I understand pain and anger, resentment. You know what I mean? Somebody mistreated you, you put your trust in them, they did you wrong, or, you know, they had a change of mind, want to be with someone else, and, you know, you feel some type of way now, you want to destroy them and destroy yourself, you know. But that's not love. Even if the person decided to stay, that person will never had the same relationship prior, because that person will always be in fear, and if they're in fear, then there's no love there. Ain't no love. Once you threaten someone or you threaten yourself and they see that, but then again, I take that back too, because you do got some women out there that want that form of worship. You know, they want you to almost kill yourself or kill yourself. That's empowering for them. Or see you get jealous. That's empowering. And they still say, I love him. But to me, those are no forms of love. Those are no forms of love. That's selfishness. That's just people wanting what they want and having no clue of what the love that people are probably talking about.
We all want what we want now. Come on. We all want what we want. That's what you go to the store for, right? I want that right there, right? I want that, right?
So right.
We all picking and choosing what we want. But you know, sometimes you don't get what you want from a person in a relationship, and but these guys are saying that they are so entrenched into the life of the other person, right? Like you're saying, you call it worship, their soul, but these guys are entrenched in the life of the other person as if it's their life. You know what I'm saying? So if you do something, so whatever happens to her happens to him. And some people feel that way. Like if your wife, you got a wife, somebody punch your wife in the face, is that like punching you in the face?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, the same thing with these people. They're so entrenched in it that they're taking everything. What she does, it has an impact on how he is perceived himself, how he feels about himself. If she does something that makes him look bad, then that's a cut. You know what I mean? That's a knife in the back, you know.
Well, there's another word that comes to mind. If someone goes to that distance over another person, I mean, that I might start looking at that as a little psychosis or some other issues. And the lack of self-love. The lack of self-love. You got to have some love for yourself to want to exist. You know, that person may do you wrong, but the next 2 days or the next year, you might find somebody that want exactly what you want. But you turn around and kill yourself over this one person, and you didn't even do one thing that you should have valued was yourself. Value yourself.
Or you kill yourself. Them and you end up in jail. How about that? You end up doing 20
or
life.
Or you end up in jail. Then you end up in jail and you find somebody that in jail that will love you just as you are.
Hey, that's not
funny. Don't care what the gender is.
That's not funny.
Anyway, it's the idea of these things, which I think comes from a lot of fairy tale and religion, it doesn't make sense to me. And I've been married 3 times, still married, and it's not making sense. And especially in this day and time, you know.
And everybody's still alive, right? You've been married 3 times and everyone is still alive, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care what, no matter what kind of whatever thing you went through, nobody's dead.
Nobody's
including
dead.
You.
Nope.
Yeah, everybody's still alive. So, but some people go to the get, you know, feel that it's, you know, is, you know, they feel so much pain, so much, you know, it's not always infidelity. It's just a separation. You know, sometimes we get together and, you know, hey, it's not working. It's just, you know, not what I thought it would be. You know. Made a mistake. I'm doing this with you.
And that comes from lack of information, contracts, dedication. You know what I mean? Having people that have been through and giving direction. You know what I mean? Right now, where we are, we ain't trashing people. People trash each other all the time. You know, I go and get another one. I go and get another one. You had the support of so many people. Yeah, you know, just go ahead on. You find another one, you do this. You know, no accountability. So for me, I would say really figure out, is it worth it? We've had this conversation. So, no, we've come to the conclusion. I don't care what's going on, how it's going on. I ain't killing myself. I ain't going to kill somebody else, even though I feel like I'm going in rage. But as you said before, you're going to come out of it and you're going to realize that's the worst mistake you ever did. You just
that's
murdered
right.
yourself. Whether you lived through it, you murdered yourself.
All right.
So it goes back to me. You got to learn to love yourself enough to give yourself exactly what it needs. And if it ain't there, you know, have the strength to pull away from it and allow yourself to, you know, be around to find it. Because it's out there. It's there.
That's right. Lick your wounds and move on to the next. Or not.
Move on to the next. Number one thing, forgive yourself. I think a lot of people, they so angry, and it's their pride and their hurt. You know?
Right.
Oh, what? She with another dude. My pride is hurt. He probably don't even really want to hurt her, but he hurting so bad. And then he going to kill himself because then he realized he do love that person. Or he could just kill himself because he's in fear of what's going to happen next. You know? Because if you can't live with her with another person, you damn sure can't live with her when you kill her. So there's
that's
some
right.
problems there. There's something going
that's
on.
Right. She's definitely not going to have her affection if she's not, you know, walking. So, you know.
You ain't going to get her affections either if you put a bullet in and she survived.
That's right. Yeah,
and
that's
funny.
Right.
That's funny because there are some women who go through that type of abuse and stick it out.
That's right. That's true.
He loves me. He loves me. Y'all just don't understand. He's going through something. Okay.
Yeah, but that, but and that's like we're saying in that situation, he loves you, but if you make the wrong move, right, or moves, this guy will kill you. He will kill you. You know, and I see a video of a guy loading a gun in a car where the girl was filming it. He's taking the bullet out, cleaning it off, talking about how he gonna blast her with this, shoot her. And guess what? He shot her, killed her. And he wasn't, he didn't even seem to be like extremely distraught or anything like that. But apparently, I can't say how he felt, but I'm just saying he was very in control of himself. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't yelling or anything. He was just, oh, you going to see, you see, watch this. Like, you know, it's like, I was like, it looked like, is he serious? And he actually killed her.
Well, there's a video that was out there. The guy was talking to the girl, back two videos. And the first one I seen, you know, he kissed the girl goodbye. She went inside, closed the door. He pulled the gun out and shot himself in the head.
Whoa.
The other one, the girl got on the elevator, guy pulled a gun out, shot himself.
Wow.
The narrative was that they broke up.
Wow.
So again, you know, you got to love yourself. You got to want something for yourself. Give yourself a chance.
That's right. Because you are somebody. I mean, you are. You don't have to be a murderer. No. Wow, that's
yeah.
That's
this
sad.
Whole possession thing is bad. It is sad, and the whole possession thing. You know, when I got married, I heard that minister say, you know, that who gives this woman to this man? I'm like, wait a minute. You mean give to me? It's not mine. I don't own this person. You're giving somebody over. You know, I heard women, you know, say, well, what's yours is mine, and, you know, that's my peak. You know what I mean? Like, don't you get this, don't you do that. It belongs to me. Dude saying the same thing. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that type of slavery, period. I don't own nobody. I don't even own my own kids when we come down to the politics of it. But definitely not going to try to own another person.
Yeah, I don't think these guys, they're beyond I own you. These guys have moved on to you're a part of me. I live because of you. So they way past that. Because the own you part, you know, you can see those are the guys that are controlling, you know, who might use violence to control their relationship. But these guys are, like you're saying, these guys are past that, I own you. They're not saying I own you. They're saying I am you. You are me. We are one. We are fused. That's what these guys are saying. And he's saying, like, hey, I can't do it without you. And them guys you just displaying felt that way. I can't live without you. I can't do this without you. Can't breathe if breathing is without you. They mean it. Some people actually mean that. Some people, don't, that's not a poetic thing that some people are expressing. They actually mean it. Right? And as you say, sometimes the person don't kill the spouse. They kill themselves. Like they said, they're suicidal sometimes. So sometimes who they kill is themselves. Sometimes they kill the spouse and themselves, you know what I'm saying? And like you said, sometimes they don't hurt the spouse. So, and it's love. I can see the love in that where that stems from. Because if you don't really care about somebody, you're not, you know, you're going home, going to sleep, on to the next one, you know, whatever you're going to do. But where them guys felt like they didn't even want to live again. You know, so, I mean, it seems like whatever it is, it's extreme. It's an extreme expression of love. And attachment is to the point of, you know, in their minds, because we know that he actually can live without the girl. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, he could have lived without her. You know, it's not real that you can't actually live. You know, it's a psychological issue that, like you're saying, this romantic love, this type of fusion that two people have, or one person experience. Because it seems like women are stronger in that sense, and I can see that with women because they seem like they take a lot of stuff from guys, cheating, you know what I'm saying? Babies out of the marriage. Where a guy, he can't take that. It's worse for a guy if his woman cheat. That's like a kicking the nuts and a bang in the head. You know what I'm saying? So where a woman, she might not like that, but she likes, she can take it better than a man.
Well, with that, I can understand that, but I think that's more of a pride thing. I think your show's not long enough for this specific conversation.
Sure is it. Yeah, you right.
Because today, from what I experience is, from my understanding, some of the reason why these women don't have that feeling is because they have multitudes of people as replacements, whether it's past or new. So, you know, they know, oh, I'm going to get me another dude. Or if they have multiple dudes, that sense of love that you're trying to get from that one person, she really don't have it. Because she done shared so much of that, or haven't shared, they don't have no idea of it. So maybe that's one of the reasons there's a difference between the men and the woman. Now, in Islam, it's a little slightly different. Even in some other cultures, you have more than one wife. You have responsibilities, you know, which I would like to explore. I'm glad you come up with this, because now I'm going to go back and look at, in Islam, how many men with multiple wives have committed some type of crimes such as that from love or passion. I think it's going to be very low. I think it's going to be very, very low.
Well, the Western world has this concept of romantic love, and like they say, 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Right.
So they say the problem is when it's not the song, but when people take this wholeheartedly, this whole unrealistic idea. Right, about love. That makes that creates that risk. When you really think that you really believe you can't live without somebody, you know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
If you really thought that, you wouldn't need a gun. If you really couldn't live without somebody, you wouldn't need a gun to kill yourself. You understand what I'm saying? So it's an expression.
Right.
I guess expression means you don't want to live without them, which is why he had took the gun to kill himself. The reality is, you can live without him. You need a gun to kill yourself in order to make that real. Because really they're saying,
right,
I don't want to. You know, but you can.
Mm-hmm. I believe that there are, you know, people out there that have that type of bond with each other, because, you know, there's stories where one person passed away, you know, elderly, and shortly after, the other mate followed, you know, like,
right,
heartbroken.
Right.
Really couldn't live without that person. Could have lived with the person, but the separation put a strain on them, and, you know, they shortly died. And they were healthy from,
right,
you know, medical standards, but they say, hey, they died of a broken heart, you know, that
right,
separation. There's animals that's like that, you know, the dove, the mourning dove, you know, they mate
right
for life. There's that one person, other animals, you know. So
Some humans have done it.
But in that type of situation, aberration, they are getting equal what they put out. You're getting someone that's matching the same energy, that feel the same way. I think in these days and times, we're not getting that. We're getting the words, like these ideas, these words, and mixed emotions along with the acts, but it's not really the person.
Oh, lip service.
It's not really them.
You're saying we get lip service now and then.
Lip service. Yup. And we talking about rap music. This whole love thing is the best rap there is, man. They like, yo, they got good lip service. Make you feel wonderful, man. But they not real. Don't really
right
believe.
So So it might be in the best interest to truly know yourself, be in touch with your inner feelings before entering a relationship. If your solution to, or reaction to infidelity, rejection, or separation is violence, you may not be ready to enter into an intimate relationship because you have already taken the first step to assaulting and or murdering your intimate partner.
I agree.
Like the, yeah, it seems like you got to deal with you. You know, these guys are dealing with the signs that they're in the relationship. I'm saying for the person who is at risk of committing these crimes, they need to take a look inside of themselves before they even enter a relationship like that. You know what I'm saying? Where, like I'm saying, maybe you just need to stay on the surface, you know, casual relationship with somebody. Maybe you don't need to be in an intimate relationship with somebody is you feel that close to you, that your whole life, your living, your actual living is dependent upon that person, you know? So,
right.
You know, that's just one instance. Sometimes people murder because the intimate partner are not the thing that makes life worth living. You know what I'm saying? You got that situation, right? And you probably can, you know, you can see that probably better because unless somebody's just a good actor, they become the thing that makes life unbearable, an emotional roller coaster ride has ended, the emotional umbilical cord has been severed, and now that person has become an impairment to happiness, an irritant, or an obstacle, yet somehow they're still tied to that individual. And we might see people like that in situations. I'll say I got a couple of $1 million and I got this pretty girl I married, but this pretty girl is all she is a pretty girl, and I'm trying to get away from her after 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Because all five
right.
I have here is a gold digger. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Maybe that might lead to something like that. Now, that's going to cause friction and things like that, but you know, but... Like I'm saying, you have to make the right decisions before you enter into these relationships. You have to make certain choices. You have to, you have to interview your the people in your life. You know, it's a job, like a job.
It is, and I think that's why some cultures have a better success rate than we do here because they. You know, it is what you said. You know, you're sitting down with a person's family, and they're sitting down with your family, and it's like, hey, we're going to reveal the good, bad, and we're going to say, hey, I don't think this is really going to work. You know what I mean? I'm going to tell you now, my daughter, she likes to do this, she likes to do that. You know, I know it. I watched it, you know. Or they may say, you know, my son, he ain't very responsible. He likes to drink, get drunk, and party. Now, he a good protector and all that other stuff that you need, but... You know, I think we're walking into stuff with strangers and we believe in what we want from the stranger just based off of some few ideas that we have, but not enough. And people can mimic those things. One thing I would definitely say for people is don't tell people too much. Don't tell your person that you want to be with too much. They need to display what you're looking for. And I made that mistake, you know, telling somebody, you know, oh, I really like this and I want that. And they pretend to be that thing because sometimes, you know, just getting married and just doing it is to some women like they do it 4 or 5 times. They don't care. They like that. You know, that whole fantasy, that whole romance thing. So they don't care who they destroy. They like it, you know. They like it. Even in Islam, you got women that, you know, they get a dowry and they cause a problem after they get a dowry and they do some things with you and turn around and you divorce from them, they go get somebody else and now they got another dowry, you know. Now, to me, I call that professional hoeing because that's exactly what a lot of these chicks out here do. On to the next, who got the money, who got the bag.
So is that a death sentence, though?
That isn't a death sentence, no.
All right,
no.
All right, then.
The only time I think anything should be a death sentence if you got to take their life because they're trying to take yours.
Right.
That's it.
And hopefully
and I don't care about the gender. At that point, I don't care about the gender because a woman can pull a trigger just like a kid or a baby can do something. So you best protect yourself. But the best protection is to know yourself and know how much you can tolerate and know when to get out. And that's hard because it's hard because you invest it and you lose that investment. Sort of like money. You know, guys jump off of bridges because I'm investing my money. I lost it all.
Right.
But guess what? Money's still out there. If you got it one way, get it again.
Yeah, my father called that know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Wow.
So,
Dad was intelligent, smart, genius man.
Yeah, so we're running out of time. We got 9 minutes left. These guys came up with, I think, four common things that they see present. Anger is one of them. Lack of, let me see. Fear of abandonment, which we just talked about. Sexual jealousy, right? Become upset when they flirt with somebody else. And he's suicidal. So they said those are the four common things they see in people who murder their spouses. So fear of abandonment and loss. You know, that's that guy you talked about who shot himself at the elevator, right?
Right.
He feared being without this young lady, so shot himself in the hole, in the head. You know, so anyway, all of these motives are more likely to result in a lethal action in the presence of alcohol and drug intoxication. They said alcohol. You got your window down or something? But this is making a lot of noise.
I'm working. All right, I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna get off.
Okay.
I'll talk with you.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, you know, we have this, you know, I don't know if you heard of this, till death do us part. I think that's another thing that we cite on the weddings and things like that. So if you're getting married and you believe to, you know, we got this thing called divorce, separation and all this stuff, you know, and things you can do yourself if you're having problems in relationship, counseling and things like that. So you need to, you know, seek help, you know, if you're having any kind of, first, if you find yourself over-identifying with somebody that you're in a relationship with, you should seek help, I think. That's what I'm getting out of everything that I'm seeing, because this whole concept of romantic love, relationships are a lot of work. And sometimes it's hard work. And sometimes you have to realize when, you know, things are just not, you know, something you want that you should be even involved in. So before we leave, I just wanted to add some things that I thought that that might help the at-risk attacker or the aggressor deal with his decisions and feelings that perpetuate his or her rage. May I offer, accept the things that you cannot change. Control you. You have power over yourself. Don't surrender your power. Think before you enter a relationship. Choose your partners wisely. Establish limits, boundaries that protect their inner you and your emotions. Establish limits, boundaries that protect your intimate partner and their emotions. Don't put your partner on a perfect pedestal, right? Don't do that. Choose your intimate partner wisely. This is couples therapy, right? Get an outside opinion. Don't be afraid to do that. For you guys that are stuck in a marriage, you might have married somebody because they had the right body parts and the right measurements and the face and the pretty smile. Get a prenup. All right? So, and if you're just marrying you just want a wife because she looks good, maybe you shouldn't get married. I mean, you should get married, but, I mean, if that's not a reason to marry somebody just because they look good. And I understand that all of that, that you're attracted to them and things like that, but you need more than a pretty face to be up under the same roof with somebody. You got to communicate with your partner, right? Don't allow someone's night of pleasure to be the worst time of your life for the guys experiencing infidelity, right? Give yourself time to grieve if you must, right? Leave when you see behaviors that are harmful to the relationship. Time to get up and go. Just like you do when you're on the street, you start seeing things going on. It's okay, things starting to look bad. You leave, right? Same thing. Time to go. You don't have no control over that. You can only control you. If it is not what you want to deal with, choose not to deal with it. Make a decision not to deal with things that you don't want to deal with. Don't drag yourself through it. Let them go. End of one story is the beginning of another. All right? And while you're doing all that, for all you who believe, but don't just pray without work. You got to do the work while you're praying. So pray while you working on yourself. Okay, remember, you are somebody. With or without that person that you love, you still are. That doesn't mean that you aren't somebody. That doesn't mean that you're not worthy of being loved. That doesn't mean that you're the worst person in the world. I don't know what's happening in the relationship. If you did act out and you caused your spouse to want to leave you, then you should acknowledge that. You know, and if that's the way that it happened, you should know that certain behavior is going to make a person not want to be with you. And you understand that sometimes people just change. We changing all the time. So, till next week, I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners. Till next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Keep hope alive and stay alive. Thank you.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.